Hi, I'm Kylie.
And I'm Elliot.
We're hosts of Bad Dad, Rad Dad, a Snack Labs podcast where we look for better dads one movie at a time. Every week, we talk about the movies we watched, the thoughts and feelings they brought up in us, and the best and worst dads we found in them.
Our weekly movie picks can span decades, genres, languages, and more. Plus, we keep it totally spoiler-free so you can discover movies that you want to watch.
So join us every Thursday on our silly little movie journey to hear about the movies we watched that week.
And the dads they made us wish we had. Because
my dad's dead.
And my dad's a deadbeat.
But as far as we're concerned,
not all dads have to be bad.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, my love.
Hello, baby.
Ready to talk about some sex?
Yes, please.
Sex in the 20th century. In 2020. The 21st century of 2020.
What do you think it's going to be like?
2020? Well,
are there going to be a lot of jokes about hindsight? I don't even know.
You know what, babe? It's not. So we're recording this right now in December. Of 2019, and because we're getting all these recordings kind of jammed in before you take off on your road trip, and I don't know, but I think you just came on, you just figured out a meme that could blow up, babe. Remember the time that I put you on the front page of Imgur?
Yeah, that was a good time. That was a good time. There was a picture of me from grade 3.
You had a rat tail.
With my rat tail and my mushroom cut.
And it was your birthday. And I think you said something along the lines of, for my birthday, I would love to be on the front page of Imgur. And I took that photo and I put it on Imgur. Mm-hmm. And I made that the caption. Yeah. For my wife's birthday, she wanted to make the front page of Imgur. And that photo got upvoted, like, I don't know, whatever it was, like 35,000 upvotes or whatever, because it was the cutest little picture of this 8-year-old little boy with a rat tail.
Yeah,
except it wasn't a little boy, it was you.
It's so hard because I was so boy crazy at that age and pretty much my whole life that
anybody who was on our Patreon who got that little Christmas gift,
they
would know.
Completely understand.
Yeah.
And it's weird that I would have gotten a mushroom. Actually, can I tell you a real story?
Okay, you know what? We got to put that up on our Instagram, that fucking photo.
What?
That
of
photo
my mushroom
of
cut?
Sure, tail.
Fine. That's
fine.
Find
it. I'll find it and put it up.
But anyway, what I wanted to say was I think my first real girl crush right before I got that mushroom cut. She had a mushroom cut and a rat tail. And her name was Jolene. And she was such a tomboy. She played hockey and like sports, stuff like that. And like, she was just really cool. And I think I had a crush on her. And to this day, I have no idea what happened to her. She she's probably out there in the world living her life and probably not really a lesbian. But I was like,
But she had a rat tail too?
She had a rat tail and a mushroom cut. And mushroom I got cut the and same, rat tail. I got the same haircut as her.
Was that my way of showing affection? Was that kind of like popping off back then? Or yeah. Was she just kind of like setting the bar?
It was popular for boys at that time.
Right, totally. Yeah. I had a rat tail when I was like around that, like close to that year.
My little sister, Fern, got a matching haircut of mine. God, we were always so in matching dresses and matching haircuts.
That's so cute.
Yeah, pretty cute.
You know what I did when I was young is I bleached my hair. That was a big thing. Buzzed it and bleached it. And then I was like, why do I look so weird? I was trying to figure it out because my hair was just yellow. It wasn't blonde. It was fucking piss yellow. So that's probably one reason why it looked weird. But also the reason why it looked weird, and I figured it out, was because my eyebrows were so dark. So I bleached my hair myself. And at my friend,
you didn't do the eyebrows
at my friend Mitch's house. And I was gonna do my eyebrows, and then Mitchell's mother walked in and was like, "Don't you fucking dare put that near your eyes." And I was like, "Ugh, fine." And so I just left it. And I was walking around with piss yellow hair with black eyebrows.
At least you have your eyesight.
I do. I can still see. Yeah.
Actually, isn't your eyesight? I have
20/20 vision in the year 2020.
Okay, great.
Yeah, so I do have perfect eyesight.
Yeah.
The only perfect thing about me.
His eye health, goddamn.
And I don't even eat carrots.
That's true. How do you take care of your eyesight? Just avoid putting bleach in them?
Well, since that day, I haven't put bleach in it once. Yeah.
Well, that'll help you out. That'll help you out.
What other stupid shit did you do as a kid?
Oh my God, so much stupid shit. Once I put my cat, I had a kitten, and I was like, I was in grade 7, this is way too old to be fucking thinking shit like this, but I had this whole daydream. Now everybody who's listened to the Patreon, my journal, knows how boy crazy I was. There was this boy whose attention I wanted. Oh, his name was Jonathan, and I thought that if something scary happened to me at school, like there was something alive and moving in my locker and it sprung out at me and I gasped, that I would become a damsel in distress who needed rescuing.
Oh my fuck.
So I put my cat in my backpack and brought it on the bus.
Oh my God.
With this idea that I was going to put it in my locker and like be totally surprised that there was a cat in my locker. And
my God.
I know, you guys, I still to this day, I probably manufacture all kinds of drama in my life, but anyway, like about 20 seconds into the bus ride, I realized this was a fucking terrible idea. The cat would not stop panicking.
Yeah.
And my bus driver, Don Casely, I remember him to this day. He fucking pulled a Yui with that school bus and we dropped my cat off at home.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it didn't work out so well. So that was pretty stupid. I did that.
That's super cute.
I was always just trying. I called every...
Little Mary McLean trying to bring her cat into
I was trying to find this boy from camp. Not Thomas, but this other boy. And
all these characters that from those that journal.
And I called every Callahan in the Prince Edward Island phone book trying to find this boy that I met at camp. Right. Who was my first slow dance.
Right.
What else did I do that was really dumb as a kid?
I put my nuts in a laser that was being shot into space, but I was an adult. I was 20 years old.
Yeah, okay. Well, that was
a green laser at the University of Acadia. It's probably still there. They were shooting the laser at the moon, and for God knows what. The science kids there at the university were collecting some kind of data. And you could see the laser. Like, you could see this green beam about the width of my index finger shooting right up into the night sky. And it was on this big machine that looked like a giant generator bigger than a car. And it was obviously fenced off. You're not allowed to, like, go in there because you could probably get fucking electrocuted. I was just hammered. And I was like, I'm going to get up there and put my nuts in it.
Yeah.
And then, and I did. I put my ball sack in the path of the laser beam, and I heard, because like when you're there, you can hear like, and then I put my nuts in, and I just was, it was like, like it changed pitch, and I went, oh, fuck.
Maybe you weren't always sterile.
Yeah.
Maybe that day.
Right, because I didn't know then.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was another couple
maybe
of years.
Maybe you severed your own vas deferens.
Maybe I did.
Wow.
That'd be fucking crazy.
That would be crazy.
It was really funny. Like, I did everything for the laugh, so there was a few people there. They thought it was very funny. It was worth it. I didn't get hurt, I don't think. My balls feel fine.
Yeah, I'm sure they're fine. It's been enough years. They would have fallen off if they were going to fall off.
I mean, I have three now. I woke up the next day with an extra ball, but that's fine.
Growing out of your butthole.
Oh, God. That's just a hemorrhoid.
Oh, man.
What else? What is stupid shit that I do?
Man, I
just vandalized stuff.
This is all fresh from, like, reading my diaries from that age, like, 12 years old. And I remember I watched the movie Clueless in grade 6, and I watched it with my big sisters, and I was like, oh, I did not get that it was a joke. I was like, this is how you get to be cool and popular.
Oh,
you just, like, say super mean shit about other people. You're a bit of, like, and I totally thought, like, being a mean girl was actually how you get, like, cool. Like
the comedy.
And that's why I finished high school with one single friend.
Oh my Jesus. Yeah, I guess you know, if you're gonna show, I'm all about showing kids horror. I think it's a great thing for kids, is to, like, scare the fuck out of them.
Mm-hmm.
with you know, whether it's like modern horror movies, books, that kind of thing. And I'm not fucking joking. I honestly think it's great. I think you just scare the crap out of your children with that stuff. Because they'll love it. They will love it. They'll have awful nightmares. They'll never go to sleep. It'll be fucking traumatic for you, the parent, because it'll just be a pain in the ass. But they will end up loving it.
Yeah.
Guaranteed. But I think you also need, when if you're going to do that, you need to be able to, like, explain to them that this is all fake. You know, it's not real.
Mm.
And, like, I think that's also good for kids. You know, like, it's a good learning lesson. I'm no parent, so I'm sure there's people out there going, this is a fucking awful idea. Well, just be lucky.
You know what, parents?
You're lucky I'm not your uncle, your kid's uncle.
Parents got a lot on their hands. I was just thinking about, like, I was trying to think of other stupid things that I've done, and I was thinking about, like, nights. So I spent my summers at a campground, and there were all these, like, kids around, and I had a curfew, like, a pretty strict curfew, and I wasn't allowed to, like, I was really not allowed to go out late at night or out at night or down to the beach for campfires with all the other kids, teenagers, blah, blah, blah. And I feel like because of those tight controls on my life, I probably narrowly avoided, like, a lot of really unpleasant preemptive sexual experiences.
Narrowly, like, avoided?
Yeah. Like, I remember, like, you know,
you weren't allowed to do it. You widely avoided it.
But I hung out with the same kids up until a certain time of night when they all went down to the beach to have fires and, like, give each other blowjobs and whatever shit that they did down there. That I was allowed.
Do you know that that's what they were doing?
Yeah, pretty sure.
Or is that just that's just what your stepmother was like? No, they're going down there finger blasting and blowing.
She would never, ever, ever say that.
Right, of course. So were you just in your head going, well, everyone else is down there. I'm sure they're all blowing each other and finger banging each other.
No, I would hear stories later and I'd be like, oh my God, I'm horrified by that. Like, right. I would hate to have been in that position because I would not know what to do if a guy was like, if I was like 13 and a guy was like, hey, give me a blowjob, I would have been like, I'm uncomfortable. And I would have run away, probably. Or I would have put a penis in my mouth not wanting to, which would have been even worse.
Yeah, it would have been bad.
But I know a lot of other people were doing it.
But I feel like you didn't narrowly miss it. I feel like you missed it.
By a wide berth.
Thanks
to my
stepmother.
Yeah, thanks to my stepmom.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Well,
we did some dumb things, though. It's a miracle any of us live to adulthood.
And now here we are, and we made it all the way to 2020, and I'm 32 years old. Yeah. And you're 32, 34. You're turning 36 this year.
Yep.
In a month's time, a month and a little bit.
Yeah.
Holy right. fuck, you're going to be 36? Dude, that's old.
Good remembering. I'm almost 40.
36 is old, man.
I'm almost 40.
I was thinking 32 the other day because I'm Well, I was thinking the other day before I was 32, because now I am 32 because it is 2020 and
you just had your birthday.
I just had my birthday. Although I don't know. I feel like John from Watchmen, where I'm living in two different lives and two different timelines all at the same time. Because it's not 2020 right now when we're recording this. But I was thinking about how I'm about to turn 32, and yeah. I am 32 now that you're listening to this. Yeah. And I was thinking, I'm going to be old. It's the first time I ever thought I'm going to be old.
Yeah. Because 32 is old.
Yeah.
Or are you actually looking at your life like maybe you're going to live longer than you've always? I mean, you always thought 30 was your goal and that everything else was bonus time.
Yeah.
But now that you're into your 30s, do you have a new sort of expectation you set for yourself, or are you just kind of winging it now?
I don't know, man. I don't want to live too much longer.
Really?
I see myself living probably until 40. But who fucking knows? There's this new pill that just came out. I mean, no one can get their fucking hands on it, but it did come out, and it could. It's a curative. It's not a cure, but it's curative.
That's the craziest thing to me when they're like, we found something that'd be super helpful. It costs $1 million. You're like, look, bitches, that's just a bunch of different piles of powder that you squish together in a pill. Hand it out.
Yeah. But that's just not the way the world works. We live in a capitalist society.
It doesn't make any sense to me. Money
needs, there needs to be money. People need to get paid.
I guess.
I heard a crazy thing the other day because there's all this discussion in my world right now about
the pill.
About Trikafta, this pill that could, you know, just like changing people with CF's lives. And we're having a lot more conversations with like people whose job it is to lobby for those kinds of things. And
On sick boy, you mean? Or just in general?
Outside of, yeah, like within the world. Okay. And at certain meetings and things like that. And something that has that we heard through the grapevine, through somebody's job who's very close to basically there's someone's job where these people bring, and this is like probably some conspiracy shit, but
okay.
They bring a piece of paper that goes, hey, we have this drug that can cure this disease, that can like eradicate this one thing, and it's guaranteed, and we figured it out, here it is. And that person's job is to look at it and go, not a big enough market for it, so we're next. What else you got?
Oh man,
isn't that wild?
What a world.
Isn't that wild?
It's like it's like there's no humanity sometimes.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a balance to it all.
Healthy perspective. Yeah. Healthy perspective.
It's 2020, you know? Everything's in hindsight in 2020.
I don't know if you quite nailed it.
We'll get it.
We'll get there.
Do you want to hit a brain boner?
Yeah, okay. So this one came a while back, but I think there's lots of valuable stuff in here, so we'll take a tackle on it, and if it's helpful to the person who wrote in, that's great, and maybe it'll be helpful to some of the rest of you, because I think there's some things in here that are kind of relatable. Here we go. Hi, Bridie and Jer. I've been dating the same person since I was 19. I'm 25 now. We just had our 6th anniversary recently. I asked them out as a casual thing, but then fell ass backwards into a long-term relationship. Everything happened pretty fast, and we were each other's first times. We're really compatible as people, and we've been through hell and back together. But we haven't had sex in 3 years. We had fun in the bedroom for a while, but we both dealt with some serious medical issues that put a damper on our intimacy. I have endometriosis and a painkiller allergy, which made orgasm painful for about a year till treatments kicked in. And they are on daily medication, which has completely turned their libido off. We've just sort of stopped and never started again. I've really felt this affect our relationship and my own mental health. I feel lonely and undesirable when my partner doesn't want me, even though that I know it has nothing to do with me or even our relationship. I like sex a lot. It's an important part of intimacy and connection for me. I never got a chance to experiment in the way many of my friends did, and I only ever went on one proper date before I met my partner. The idea of living the rest of my life sexless scares the hell out of me. We talked about it a few weeks ago. I realized recently that I think I'm poly, and they told me that after some thought, they identify as gray asexual and definitely monogamous. We didn't have time to work out a solution and tabled the talk until the end of this month. I would like to talk about potentially opening up the relationship, but I don't know where to even start. I'm terrified of sending the message that they aren't enough for me just because of their libido. On the other hand, I'm ashamed of my own need for intimacy, and I can't help feeling like a huge asshole for wanting sex even when I'm happy everywhere else. I'm mostly scared that if we open the relationship on my end, I will end up hurting them or wanting to leave the relationship altogether. Any thoughts or advice? Yours.
Well, that's a lot in there. And this, as you were reading that email, this dog was just begging to go out for a piss. So go let that dog out. All right. Well, I don't know. What do you think, Bride? I feel like we get this kind of question quite a bit.
Yeah.
You know, this like I identify as polyamorous, but my partner, I'm afraid, doesn't. Or my partner just
won't,
does not,
yeah.
Or doesn't entertain the idea. And almost every single time I feel like I have the same answer, or I have the same like kind of feeling, which is like, well, what do you need?
Yeah.
Like, I understand that you want everything to work out. And in an ideal world, that's definitely the way it goes. But like, if you are at a point, at a crossroads in your life where you need to feel the physical and romantic affection of other people, and you're currently in a monogamous long-term relationship,
mm-hmm.
but it's an absolute need to have this other experience, yeah. then you need to voice that to your partner, and they will either be game or not game.
Yeah.
And sometimes being game isn't like they're going to be on board right away. You know, might take some time, might take a lot of like, what's the word I'm looking for? Compromise and discussion and effort. And it's a big journey.
Yeah. Something I think about a lot is how one of Esther Perel's classic lines is it we expect from our lover to provide what we once got from a whole village.
Yeah.
And I think about that a lot because in relationship, in this traditional format we have of pairing up, you can end up in this predicament where you're like, oh, we haven't had sex in 3 years, but this is the person I love and that I think I want to spend the rest of my life with. So I just have to decide whether or not I can be sexless for the rest of my life or if I shouldn't be with this person. And it's like, well, what if you could have both? And that takes, again, like that's another way of, it's easy for us to suggest these things because we've read all these books and we've watched all these talks.
And we're doing it.
And we're doing it. But like, if it might be really helpful for everybody even just to look at the relationships in your life, the people that you consider to be the closest to you, like, and go, what do I get from these relationships? What do I not get from this relationship? What can I outsource to another relationship?
Mm-hmm.
Or if I want, you know, like what, yeah, basically what sort of expectations can I have of this to fulfill me? Because I can't have you be my husband, my lover, my brother, sometimes my, you know, sometimes we like parent each other at different times, my coach, my biggest like confidant, somebody who's going to challenge me and push me out of my comfort zone. Like if I expect all those things from you, you're never going to know what fucking hat to wear. And oftentimes you'll probably put on the wrong hat and I'll go, that's not what I need from you.
Yeah.
But if I have my friendships and I have my relationships with like other people in my life are really strong, then the things that I do need from you, I can get those to you without all this expectation for you to provide everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I bring that up because I'm wondering, you know, if this person identifies as a gray asexual, which...
What is that? Do you want to, for anyone who doesn't know what that means?
You can hop on asexuality.org. This is the Asexual Visibility and Education Network, or AVEN, AVEN. Asexual is generally defined as a person who does not experience sexual attraction.
Right.
gray asexual, because with everything there's a, you know, any sort of polarity or any sort of spectrum, there's gray area. So the gray area is that you may feel mostly asexual, but right. not entirely.
Okay.
You might feel slightly sexual on an infrequent basis, but not enough to fit in with other people you know. You experience many of the same things that asexuals do, and most sexual people don't.
Okay.
So gray ace is also an abbreviated form for that.
Got it.
So if your partner is gray asexual and they haven't wanted to have sex for the last 3 years.
Yeah.
And you are not asexual in any sense of the word. In fact, you think you might be able to have sex with other people and still be in a loving, committed relationship.
Yeah.
Then absolutely.
That equation doesn't match up.
No, you need
in the way it is right now. And that's like my point. It's like, well, something's got to give. There needs to be some sort of evolution or change.
Well, yeah.
And because right now
it can't stay as is
right now. That won't last. And if it does last, then it's going to last in it. And it seems like it will cultivate a pretty like unhappy, unfulfilling environment for potentially two people.
Yeah.
You know, and in the very least one.
Yeah. The other thing I'm just thinking about is your last sentence there is, I'm mostly scared that if we open the relationship on my end, I will end up hurting them or wanting to leave the relationship altogether. We hurt the people we love. We don't mean to. We do the best we can, but sometimes even with our intentions are good, we've done things in a really respectful and honorable way to our partner, people still experience hurt. You cannot prevent someone from feeling hurt.
Hmm.
If your intentions are good and you're really mindful and you do the best you can to do things in that sort of way, then yeah, someone might get hurt, might feel hurt, but that's not because you're a bad person or you did anything wrong. Just because someone's hurt doesn't mean you did anything wrong.
Unless you hit them with an object.
Right.
And they are hurt.
There are some cases in which when you hurt someone, you are wrong.
Yeah, that's right.
Of course. But when it comes to self-expression and having the best, healthiest possible relationship with yourself as you can in your life,
yeah,
you know, you want to avoid hurting other people, but sometimes being who you are is just going to hurt people.
Yeah.
And it sucks. But it's a valuable life skill to learn how to like walk your own path and be kind and be good to people and not necessarily have to make sure they never feel any pain ever.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do end up wanting to leave the relationship altogether, well, don't you want to know that now instead of 5 years from now?
Fuck. Yeah. Yeah.
5 more years of celibacy?
Bruh.
Before you go, you know what? Maybe this relationship, if you're feeling that, it sucks. It's an edge that's really scary to come close to. But sometimes you get to that edge, you go, oh no, I don't want to end this relationship at all.
Yeah.
And it takes walking to that edge sometimes and feeling those things, those really scary things, to figure it out.
Well, I hope that helps.
Yeah, I hope you have that conversation.
It was a while ago.
A while ago, you probably have. Feel free to update us.
All right. You got just the tips?
Yeah. Actually, it's kind of nice because it's sort of in line with this. It's 2020.
And hindsight is that.
Yeah. And looking back at my life probably a month and a half ago before I left on this trip that I'm on right now, I was like, what the fuck? I have no saved money. I don't have any reliable way of making money on the road. But But I feel like I need to remind myself of how I can live more simply and how I can be resourceful. And I need to give my mind the creative space. I'm going on this road trip, even though it makes no practical sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit of a leap of faith. And I think my just the tip is maybe there's never a really a good time to do something that you're like, oh, I'm not prepared for it. But the benefits of doing it will reveal themselves when you we cross over that other side of that comfort zone.
Wow. Deep tip.
Thanks, baby.
That's a deep tip.
I'm going to go let the dog in.
Yeah, go let that dog in now. And we'll, again, this is the funny thing. I always pause. You guys have no idea. You can't even tell. And we're back. And my just the tip is not nearly as deep as yours. I'm gonna suggest a... I probably should have done this before... before Xmas 2019. But whatever. There's never a bad time for board games. It is the winter, you know? And so I'm a big fan of board games. It's become, I guess, a hobby of mine in the last, like, I don't know, 5-6 years. And I'm really big on, like, really elaborate and kind of hardcore board games. But this one's not so hardcore. It's pretty much anyone can get into it. It is a board game called Blood Rage, and I played it with a buddy of mine and Becca recently, and it's just so much fun. It's a quick game. It's, you know, it's like takes 10 minutes to set up. You can play a game in about an hour, maybe an hour and a half. Be really a fun game to like bring to a bar with a couple friends and just sit down and play. But Blood Rage, it's basically each player controls a clan of like mythological Vikings, and you're seeking glory in death as Ragnarok approaches. And Ragnarok in the mythology of like the Vikings is the apocalypse. Oh. So the apocalypse is happening. Ragnarok is happening, and you're trying to find glory through battling with other Viking clans and like sometimes the way the game works, the way the game's set up, you like sometimes dying in the game is actually beneficial to you. There's all these different ways you can win, and it's just a super clever game. It's definitely like a board gamer's game. The mechanics of the game are very unique, very fun, very well thought out. I think it was a Kickstarter game, and they just got like they got like $1 million or something crazy like that, and so they pumped it out and did a really great job. So if you're into board games at all, highly suggest it. It would be a game that like would be great for pretty much anyone. Like, I don't know. I feel like if you were like 12 or 13, you could probably figure it out. So if you got like a, you know, you got a kid or a
How
nephew.
How many players?
I think it's up to 4. Okay. Yeah, 2 to 4 players. So you can play with 2 or 3 or 4. And yeah, so Blood Rage, really cool. And the artwork and the miniatures are really fucking cool. If you nerd out on that shit,
it's you're such a geek.
Whatever. Anyway, Blood Rage is my just the tip.
I love it, baby.
All right, cool. Well, let's start to this week's episode. It's we get big into the world of swinging. In particular, the world of swinging from a small rural town. And it's really fascinating conversation. What was it? Jack and John or Jill and
Jake?
Jake and Jen. Jill. Jake and Jen.
Yeah.
Those aren't their real names.
No, but we love talking to Jake, and Jen was hanging out nearby. She didn't want to be on the microphone.
She didn't say a fucking word, but she said a lot.
Oh my goodness. Her facial expressions, yeah. Her reactions to things.
They are the cutest little couple.
So sweet.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about swinging, and we hope you enjoy it, and we love you all, and thank you for everything, and I hope you're having the best 2020 yet. It's early. Long way to go.
So much room for possibility.
So much room for hindsight next year. All right. Love y'all. Enjoy it.
Yeah, I just, I can't do it. I can't listen to myself.
You know what?
I know I should. That's why I said it's the thing that I know I should do the most.
Yeah. And it's actually like, you know, when you listen to like podcasters interviewing or podcasters getting interviewed, that's one of the things that they say to do.
Is listen.
Yeah, is listen back to your show.
Yeah, but you know what? Some like really excellent actors don't watch their own work.
This is true. Yep. I think there is value to listening back just so you can like, I've learned a lot.
I shouldn't have touched this.
No, it's okay.
I was like, I wonder if it gets lower.
It does. It won't
it
get
won't
lower.
It won't go lower,
that.
But okay. You can tilt this.
Okay. Yeah, maybe just tighten it back up for me. It's taking long to break things.
Why do they make these things so complicated?
Yeah, how much gadgets do you need?
Well, I'm feeling ready.
You feeling ready? I'm feeling ready. Warm?
Warm.
It's not warm outside. How's that? For a
no,
segue?
It's breezy.
It's very crisp. Yeah, I'm feeling a little like foggy today, actually. I feel like a little, just you getting excited about going out tonight, I was like, uh-oh, my head is spinning. I feel hungover.
Yeah, well, I am hungover.
I don't know how you do it.
I don't know either. So I woke up this morning and I hated myself. Mm-hmm. You know, we're here.
We're here now.
And you only live once, so you might as well make the most of it.
Nobody ever went and said, like, geez, remember that time we went to bed and got lots of sleep?
You know what? You're right. No one says, do or you remember that time?
Remember that time we got all that sleep? Oh, good night.
But there's oftentimes people go, do you remember that time? And I go, no, I don't. I was very drunk.
That's true.
I would have rather have been sleeping and not remembered that.
Yeah. Is Jake or Jack?
Jake.
Jake. Okay, sweet. Okay.
I was thinking Jack and Jill.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
No. Close, but no.
Jake, you're in from out of town.
Yeah.
You're here with your lovely partner, who's going to be a silent observer in the
silent
corner.
Silent partner.
If she can
giggling,
resist.
Giggling in the sidelines. you sent in an email that was like so well crafted and like long formed, and it was really great. I got really excited about it. But it's we've only really dived into the world of swinging like a couple of times
once
on the podcast.
Once or twice. Yeah.
Yeah, like I think maybe two times.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's ever been from a male's perspective.
No, yeah,
I don't think.
That's right.
Yeah. So there's something kind of exciting about that. Have you listened to like those episodes and heard me like with my gripes on like,
I gotta get in there. I gotta get in there.
The word swinger, like how it just makes me feel weird.
To be fair, it makes me feel weird too.
Yeah, why is that?
I don't know. I think there's a lot of negative connotation around the word. Mm-hmm. And like for a while, it was a while before we even considered that. Like, we're like, I guess we're adding people into our sex life. So I guess we do fall into that category. And it was like reluctantly like, I guess that's what we are.
Yeah.
Because it was the same. We're like, this doesn't.
Did you ever feel like you wanted to put your own kind of like label to it?
Yeah, I think. Yeah. We were like, what could we. But we couldn't really come up with anything. Yeah.
And then
we're like, what would we. And then if we were to convey that to someone else, they'd be like, you're what?
You're like, what the fuck are you talking
about? Yeah, you can't just invent your own words.
How do you find your people if you can't use the same word as
it's
everybody?
True.
Yeah,
this is true.
Yeah. Well, this one's established, so we'll just try to take it back, I guess.
And yeah. I want people to know that just because the word swinger makes me, it's like the word yurt. I just don't like the word. I have no problem with yurts. I think they're fucking beautiful. I think they work well. They're you know, they're fun to be in when there's music playing. I don't mind yurts. I just don't like the word. I have no problem with anyone who I've met who's a swinger. It's just the word that I don't
but
like.
But if you rename it, people will be like, you stayed in a what?
Yes, yeah, that's right.
A yurt.
A yurt. How does one get into the lifestyle of a swinger? So here's the other thing is you're not like...
This is what stood out to me. This is what I remember the most. Is like coming from somewhere rural...
Somewhere smaller. You're not a big city slicker, you know?
That's right, yeah. So,
which I feel like...
The options are limited.
Yeah, coming from a small town, like, swinging doesn't seem to be But maybe I'm wrong.
No, yeah. No, you're right. No, it was very gradual for us. It was, I remember we've been together for 11 years now, quite a while. So, and I just remember when we first started, Jen took my virginity, actually.
So, she took it.
Yeah, she took my V card. She still has it somewhere.
She's still holding it somewhere?
Yeah, I haven't found out where. But yeah, so we were both freshmen at university, and we had known each other before we went to university. But early on, we got together, and we've been together ever since. So we've always had really good communication in the relationship and a lot of trust. And I remember just things, those conversations just kind of happened, like, oh, you know, what are things you'd want to try? Or what kind of tickles your fancy? And I just remember saying, like, okay, like, you know, one time it'd be fun to add someone else. Or maybe even she even asked about what my thoughts were on a threesome. And I was like most guys, I was like, yeah.
Right, sure.
Yeah, sure. Well, I'd like, yeah, we'll give that a try. So
With the intention being MFF?
I think the early on was kind of like the insinuation that we'd add another female.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we did one day. It was one.
Was this
home.
Like a university thing?
This was a university thing. Yeah, it was coming close to the end of university.
Okay.
And a friend of ours, a mutual friend, came home with us for a long weekend. And we were at a friend's place at another person who was at the same university as us. And she kind of just said, like, you know, like, there was lots of wine involved, and I said you should ask her if she'd be interested in that, and the wine, I think it was, and she was like, yeah, okay, you know, sure. Sure. So girls, as they do, they went to the bathroom together, and I remember them, they come out of the bathroom together, and they look across the living room to me, and like, I get a double thumbs up, and I was like, holy shit, right.
It's gonna happen.
Whoa, this is big. So I was like, okay. And then we went out to a dance, and
a dance down at the hall at the, down pretty at the, much. The old fire hall.
Yeah, it's so on the nose. And they were kind of dancing kind of seductively with each other, and I think at that point Gemma's starting to question her own sexuality. She's like, geez, I like this a lot. And all the guys started noticing this.
Mm-hmm.
So they start, all of a sudden everyone's like buying me drinks, like, attaboy, you know, the typical male, you know. Yeah,
sure.
Which turned out to be bad, because the next thing you know, I'm waking up the next morning, and yeah. I was like, oh no,
you missed it.
Yeah.
Oh no, you did.
Yep.
Oh no.
I got, it was probably the three drunkest times in my life.
Oh my lord.
Wake up the next morning, go to roll over, I'm like, oh no, this is awful, I feel awful, I don't remember getting home. I was like, I assumed nothing happened. I was like I don't know if I'd be madder if it happened and I can't remember, or if it just didn't happen.
Right.
And
did it go ahead without you?
No, okay. It didn't.
Okay.
I think the clothes came off, and I think then I passed out on the kitchen floor. That was it. Wow. So I was like, okay, well.
But you woke up in bed.
Alone.
All right. Okay.
In my bunk bed at home.
Whoa.
Yeah, I was like, oh, this took a turn. This is no good. So.
What was the discussion like after that? Because things came so close, right? And yep. And I know that Bridie and I, we've talked about, you know, when we were first in the same kind of scenario where we're looking to like change things up, and we decide to go to like a sex club for the first time,
mm-hmm.
When it got really real, when it got really like when we were in it, it was the second time it was like a little too real. You know, the idea on paper was like, yeah, this sounds really fun. And mm-hmm. then when we started getting into it, it was like, whoa, maybe we're moving too fast. Maybe this is too much. Was there a discussion afterwards of like the night leading up to the failed attempt?
The failed attempted threesome, yeah.
But was there like excitement to go, all right, well, let's try that again?
Yeah. So I remember we were kind of just recovering. We were all in pretty rough shape the next day. And Jed said, you know, it's okay. Like, Don't be too distraught. It'll happen eventually. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to try to console myself. It's fine. And then it did end up happening that night. So,
oh, wait, the next day?
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, so.
Oh, that's comforting.
Yeah,
that's
so
a nice
things,
hangover
yeah,
cure.
So it was good. Yeah, so
good thing it was a long weekend.
Yes, exactly. If it was just the Saturday night, it would have been just game over. But so after that, we both really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, you know, we both really enjoyed it, and at that point, Jim was like, I think I qualify as bisexual. And I'm like, you might. Yeah. So, and And then I'm like, well, I'm not one of those, you know, there's both sides. So I was like, okay, so we added a female. So now we can, next time we'll try another, a guy. I was like, well, we'll give that a try. So she's like, yeah, okay, yeah.
Was like your immediate.
Well, that was because a lot, in our culture, it's very, you know, guys expect that. Oh well, you know, everyone should be good with a threesome when you're adding a woman. But hey, don't try to add another guy into this. Yeah. You know, it's very one sided like that. So yeah. No, there's none of that. So I was like, well, we'll try a guy. So it was months and months later, probably 6 months or so, and the opportunity arose. And it was just a train wreck.
Oh, yeah.
So
how come?
He didn't know what he was doing. Okay. Mostly.
Did you feel like you knew it? What do you mean you didn't know what he was doing? Like in the moment?
Yeah, just really bad at sex.
Oh, just not a good lover.
Yeah, just
to one or two partners. Yeah, just probably.
Yeah. So it was the first time I think I've ever reached down and I was like, whoa, she's completely dry, she's not enjoying this at all, and then I found out, like, she was just like, he was just rough, and oh my god, nobody should ever grab a clitoris that hard, like, dear god, it was terrible.
Right.
so that kind of, because it was a kind of a fantasy for her. Mm-hmm. And I was totally like, yeah, like, you know, we did the female thing, now we'll try the male thing. And but she was just like, nope, fantasy ruined, don't want any part of that.
Turn Me On. We'll be right back after this word from our sponsors.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When you guys were going into it, was there discussion on like, how you would be involved, you know, like, was there a part of you that's like, well, yeah, maybe I'll, you know, let's find a guy who's willing to fool around with both of us? Or is it like,
not at that time,
the two of us will basically service you?
Like, yeah, I think that was kind of I don't even think it was talked about, but that was kind of the understanding, that we knew him and we knew he wasn't bi or bi curious or anything like that.
Sure.
So it was kind of understood that the guys wouldn't be touching or engaging or anything like that. But, so yeah, after that, it was just, we're like, okay, well, maybe we'll just stick to the females. But that was kind of, university was ending, so that kind of ended that phase of where that kind of stuff is okay, I guess.
Well, it probably just happens with a little more ease when you're in that social.
That's right.
Built-in social environment.
Yeah. So then after, you know, you're done university, there's jobs, and we're living rural Nova Scotia. It's like, okay, so now how do we go about finding people that are into that kind of stuff? Had no idea where to look.
Mm-hmm.
So we vacation, and so we're like, okay, well, we were going out to Toronto, so we kind of looked up places, and we're like, let's try out the Aqua Lounge. Like, we had heard about it, so we're like, you know, let's give that a try.
And for people who aren't familiar, Oasis Aqua Lounge is a sex club on
Mutual
Girard?
And Curtin.
Is it Girard? Or
yeah, that might be around there.
It's a corner of Mutual and Maybe Mutual and Carlton.
Carlton.
Yeah, that's it. Okay,
Yeah. It's like a renovated Victorian mansion. It's like three stories. And it was a super cool place. We went in the middle of the day because we were very nervous. So we're like, let's just check it out.
In the daylight.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that it's open in the middle of the day.
Yeah, like, all day. Like, there's people just like sitting at the bar, like with the laptop, just doing some work, just hanging out.
Yeah.
And that was kind of our first experience with just being naked in a shared space. So it was kind of like we were kind of easing into it that way with kind of a little bit of exhibitionism.
Mm-hmm. And can we talk about that for a minute? Because I don't think we've talked about sex club a lot, but there's that first experience of walking in and being naked with a bunch of people. It's not like a locker room, you know?
Yeah, it's very trippy.
Yeah. Oh, we were terrified.
It's kind of like, where do you look? Do you know what I mean? Like, where do your eyes go?
Yeah, you're very aware of where you're looking.
Yeah.
Like, try to make eye contact with everyone.
Like,
just lock your neck. Don't be weird. Open your eyes really wide and just look on the horizon the whole time.
I had one of those dog cones on.
A blacked out dog cone.
Yeah. So, no, that was super cool. You walk in the door and then you go down the stairs and there's kind of a check-in desk there. And we kind of walked in and they yelled up the stairwell. And they're like, first time, guys? And we're like, it's pretty obvious, huh?
Just all over your face.
What gave it away?
Yeah. Like, yeah, that's, yep. Yeah, so that was kind of our first, that's kind of, because we were easing into it. Like, some people just jump into it like, hey, let's add a couple to our sexual life. So we didn't do that at all. We definitely eased into it. We tried the threesome thing and then we're like, okay, well. So we went in exhibitionism and we were kind of like, oh, this is kind of, we kind of discovered that we liked being watched and we liked kind of watching. We're like, okay, this is, and that is very set up like that there. They have like the back half of an old like Volkswagen van that you can like open the back doors and have sex in the back of the van.
Yeah, it's like fucking on the set of Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
It's really interesting.
Yeah. So it was after that when we vacationed in Europe. And we're like, okay, well, if we're going to find swingers, I guess Europe's a good, they're pretty liberal. So again, we found some sex clubs. And again, we didn't engage with anyone. We were just kind of really just trying to get comfortable being in that space.
Where in Europe did you go?
That trip was in Paris.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
so you found a sex club in Paris?
Yes.
Cool.
That was terrifying too. And, it's very different from here.
Like, really?
It's €100 to get in, and everyone's like suits, and it's very fancy. And I was just like, oh my God. And it was cool once we were there. Like, you walked in, and to the right, there was a dance floor and like a bar, and you wouldn't know, some people topless, but other than that, you wouldn't know that it was any kind of different than a normal nightclub. But then if you go left through the curtain, then there was a whole scene back there.
Okay.
Right,
yeah. And we were not at that level. We went in there and we kind of found a little corner and had sex eventually before we left because we were going to be mad at ourselves if we left without it.
But. Spent €100 and we didn't even bang in there.
So people pay €100 and they show up in their suits or whatever. They just come. This is just like where they go after work and then slowly they end up naked? Or like is it?
This place wasn't like the Aqua Lounge. The Aqua Lounge is kind of like it's understood that you can be completely naked. You can just have a towel on. This place was a little, it was fancier. It was like, you stay dressed in this section. There was some toplessness, but other than that, if you're going to get naked, you go to the back.
It's kind of like Wicked, which was the first sex club we went to, which doesn't exist anymore in Toronto, at least. But it was like, downstairs was a nightclub, and it was not clothing optional. Like, you had to wear clothes. And you couldn't have sex in that section,
right?
But as soon as you go up the stairs to like second and third level, it's clothing not optional. You can't wear clothes. they're like you got to take that shit off, and we're giving you a towel. So it's like it was very separated. Whereas like, you're right, Oasis is like, hey, come on in. The whole thing's like a bathhouse. Like you can just.
Yeah,
as soon as you register with us, your clothes can whip right off. And
yeah, so fun. that was us. We were there in February, and they were like, you know, the pool's outside and it's heated.
Yeah,
and the hot tub's heated, and you can just tour around, do whatever. So that was our first. So after that, we were kind of like, okay, and then eventually we landed up in. We had decided. We talked about it. And we're like, you know, is something. Jen was like, you know, I would like to had that experience with a guy, but I don't want to just a guy. She goes, so that's kind of how we landed on couples. We're like, you know, she's like, you know, I'd really like the be playing with another woman, and it'd be fun to play with a guy. So we're like, okay, let's go with the couples. Then you kind of, it kind of ensures that the guy maybe knows what he's doing. It's not just on a talk kind of fella. So it was a sex club in Spain.
Very sexy place.
Yeah. So in Madrid that, it was kind of like, you know how Boston Pizza set up when you walk in and there's like a bar on one side.
Yeah.
And
bar then, on the right.
Yeah.
Family.
It was exactly like you walked in and all to the right, it was just a big bar. And there was flat screens everywhere. And I think they had the Victoria's Secret, the runway show on, and Cher was playing, and I was like, okay, 90s music. I was like, this is interesting.
What's up with the music in Europe? I feel
they're
like
they're very attached to our 90s music.
Yeah, they're very, they get really stuck in an era. Yeah. And it takes a while for them to like catch up, I find. Anyway, whatever.
Yeah.
I was having this discussion the other day. I was like, European music.
Yeah, there was Cher and Aqua. And we're like, okay.
Yeah, totally.
Aqua.
Yeah, there was a lot of Aqua. God. So that was our first couples experience. It was we went the first night, and we kind of just scoped it out. We were really dipping our toe in the water, and again we had sex, and there was this was the first really busy place. It was at night, you know, the Aqua Lounge was in the middle of the day and stuff like that. So we're like, okay, that was interesting. We're like, that was a cool place. Let's try going back. So the next night we went, and we met these, I don't remember their names. It doesn't matter.
Let's call them Jack and Jill.
Sure, yeah. So Jack and Jill, our Spanish version of Jack and Jill. She had very good English. She worked on the trains, so she spoke like five languages. Her English was pretty good. His wasn't great, but it was better than my Spanish for sure. So they came up and they just introduced themselves, and they're like, yeah, my wife likes beautiful women. And we're like, okay. And we're like, yeah. And Jim was like, yep. Me too. So they started talking, and the guy's like, you know, do you want me to go see if there's any, because they had like these little rooms out back, like these private rooms or whatever. He's like, do you want to see if there's any private rooms left? I'm like, yeah, okay, sure, we can ease into this.
I have butterflies in my stomach, yeah, right now. Were we panicking? Were.
Oh yeah. 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 We're like, and we weren't, in hindsight, we should have been drunker for it.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
We should have been. We were like, right. Oh my God, we only had like a drink.
Now, like up to this point, have you guys had a discussion on like boundaries or limitations, like,
yes,
physically where this could and yep, should not go?
Yeah. Before that, I guess we had safe sex was a must.
Right.
Obviously it was like, you know, if they, we didn't think they would, anybody look to go without condoms and stuff like that. But we're like, you know, in case it comes up, that's definitely not happening. And the other thing was like, we were trying to kind of, at that time we were kind of trying to save a little something for ourselves. So we're like, you know, no kissing on the mouth.
Right.
We're like, we'll leave that. In the past we didn't, even with the threesomes and stuff like that, like the two women would make out and stuff like that, but I never made out with them. So that would have been our rule up to this point.
Mm-hmm.
But then at that time it was kind of, we were all kind of just caught up in it, and their English wasn't great anyway, so we kind of just skipped the step where we tried to just explain, yes, we'll have sex with you, but let's not kiss, that's too far.
Right.
so no, that was it, as long as it was safe. But he came back and there was no individual rooms.
Okay.
So we're like, okay. He goes, so yeah, do you want to just like head over to the other side? And we're like, yeah, okay. So we went, and there was a great big, there was a great big submarine almost in the middle of it.
Okay.
And you could go down below the submarine, and there was like, everything was like a wipeable, like not a leather, but like a wipeable, like a vinyl.
Mm.
And then there was jacuzzis. I'm like, I'm definitely not getting in those.
Too gross.
No. The water features in sex clubs weird me.
Yeah.
Out.
Yeah. Because Oasis is good to say, like, you know, no sex in the hot tub. Like, hot tub is for relaxing.
Yeah.
No, but this one there was people having sex in the hot tub and stuff like that, and I was like, that's not, no. But anyway, so we started fooling around, and we landed up having, that was our first full swap. And by the end of it, yeah, we were kind of caught up in it, and then you turn around and there's like 30 people watching.
Wow.
We're like, yeah, we should go.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was we left kind of, it was exhilarating for sure, and it's a bit of an adrenaline rush. And that was our very first, we're like, yeah, we can't find that at home.
And was there a debrief after that, like between the two of you? And,
definitely.
And how did that feel? Did it feel healthy? Was it a bit scary? Like, what was the aftermath?
The aftermath, it kind of came to an abrupt stop. It went on for a while. It was fun. I lost her earrings somehow. I don't know. We distilled them to this day. Because I like to like nibble on the ear a bit.
You swallowed her earring?
I definitely didn't.
Yeah. I shit it out the next day.
And we looked around. We looked. And she's like, it's fine. She, not expensive. And I'm like, but still. Like,
this
I feel
is the
awful.
Spanish woman's earring?
Yes, okay, yes. Yeah, right. Yeah. And yeah, I don't know why my Spanish accent is very off. But anyway. But Jen was like, okay, she's like, you know, okay, let's go. She's just kind of like, all right, let's get back. And we gotta, it was only about a kilometer walk back to our Airbnb.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a big turn on. Like, it was, for us, it was always when we get into that kind of situation, the aftermath, it's always like, okay, one of the huge benefits that we think swinging is, it does really make you appreciate your partner. It's stuff that you forget about. It's stuff that you know, when you've been having together and you've been having sex for a decade, it's just the little things that you don't pay attention to anymore. You know, like, you buy a new car and it's awesome for a few months, and then, you know, it's still the same car, but you just don't appreciate it the same. You get in it a couple months later and you're just like, yeah, okay. But then if you go and rent something and then you come back to your own car, you're like, oh, I forgot how good this car feels. I forgot about this feature that I love. I just wasn't, you just, it's stuff you take for granted. It's nobody's fault. You just eventually do. And I found that swinging was kind of the same thing. Like, you just, that night when you're with your partner again, you're like, oh yeah, I forgot just the way that she, whatever, the way that she feels, or that sound that she makes, or the way she knows to, like, you know, the way she bites my neck, or, you know, little stuff that you're like, you know, that's really good. So I always found that it really brings us closer afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
But at our first time, I remember Jen was just like, you know, she's like, there was insecurities there. There's always insecurities. And she got started getting insecure. She's like, you know, you came like twice and he didn't come at all. And she goes, so she was insecure that she wasn't turning him on or something. Mm. And I was like, no, I don't think that's it. Like, I was like, she's probably like, geez, he came too quick. Like, I don't know. Like, you know, you have to look at it from both sides. Plus, it was in the middle of a sex club and there was like 30 people watching. There's stage fright's a thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So yeah. From a guy's point of view, I was like, don't get hung up on that. Like, he was probably trying his damnedest to like not finish. And she was kind of like upset that he didn't. So there was like, there's always something to debrief and talk about it. And how are you feeling about that? Cause it's not, some people make it look super easy and it's just like, yeah, you just,
mm-hmm.
It's interesting that's the insecurity that Jen expressed, as opposed to like, you know, did you feel anything with that other woman? Was there any, it was more like, how come,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You know, this is the situation because when people, I think about this and they think about what they might feel in terms of jealousy,
they're thinking like, did her pussy feel better than my pussy? Or like, you know, or like yeah. was it better than me kind of thing?
Right.
Like, I feel like that's where a lot of people's heads would immediately go. Like, instead of going, oh, well, you came, but I couldn't make him come. Like, it's
yeah,
on me.
That,
like,
that's, yeah.
It's such a, it is a bit of a unique.
It's really funny, though, how many revealing experiences there are in, like, even in opening things up or having mm-hmm. sex with other people where you go, that didn't feel at all what I would have anticipated it to. It opens up a completely different can of worms, so to speak. But the things you think are going to be the most terrifying really just end up being, like, kind of non-things.
Yeah.
Non-issues.
Because I guess, I don't know, in our generation, I find that we are really good at separating love and sex. You know, our generation can generally have, you can have sex without being in love with a person.
Mm.
So beforehand, like, we talked a lot about that, and, you know, we made it very clear that, you know, just because we want to try having sex with other people, it is, for us at that time, it was a purely physical thing. You know, it was just shaking things up, trying something new, like, you know, it wasn't, there was no feelings involved. We just met these people. Like, we talked for a little while and they seemed like the kind of people that you'd be friends with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, they seem like really cool people. And he's like, yeah, I own a shop down. And were you down there? We talked about the city. And he's like, were you down in that square? And we're like, yeah, we were there. He's like, oh, I own a shop down, watches and perfume. Do you need any perfume or the cologne? Do you need any cologne? I was like, oh, I'm pretty good for cologne. But, you know, and she was asking us how we liked the trains and stuff like that. We're like, yeah, we love traveling by train because you see everything. And she's like, oh, I'm on a train. So yeah, they were definitely the kind of people you want to be, have that bit of a chemistry, like, connection. You don't want to be sleeping with people that you wouldn't be friends with.
Right.
You know,
I'm going to write that down.
Yeah.
When you, after this trip to Europe and you come back to Canada, back to a small town, How did you continue from there? Like,
yeah.
Do you try to cultivate it in your community or search it out a little more?
We were definitely too, I don't know if chicken is the word, but we were definitely, there was never a thing that we should look around our, you know, get on Tinder right in our little village.
Little town.
That was never a thought. It was like,
Mostly travel for you then? Is it like
at that time it was for a few years there. It was, it was like, yeah, when we take our yearly vacation, when we get out away from our usual bubble, we can get on Tinder or you know, Google these sex clubs and stuff like that. And for our first couple times, like, yeah, we traveled a lot. And I get that that's coming from a place of privilege too. Like, not everyone has the means to just be like, oh, well, on my yearly vacation, I'll be a swinger.
Yeah,
kind of thing. But that was the way it was for us for a few years.
Did anyone in your circle know? Or was this like pretty much just between the two of you?
No, they knew kind of about the, just from university and stuff like that, and you're playing drinking games and stuff like that. They knew about like the threesomes.
Yeah.
And that is, I think, a lot more culturally acceptable. It's like, oh, okay, well, you had a threesome. That's cool. But from a guy's point of view, when it starts coming out that someone else, another man, is having sex with your wife, then the stigma happens.
Yeah.
It's like, you can have sex with another woman or the two women can have sex because culture tells us that's cool. That's, you know, bisexuality and that, you know, every music video, you know, that kind of thing. That's okay. But then it's, I'm supposed to, you know, cultural says I'm supposed to be possessive.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh my God, like, you two do that? Like, another guy? Like, how are you okay with that? How do you not want to punch the guy in the face? How do you? And I'm like, well, it's, we just don't see it that way.
I feel especially from like small, more rural areas, like it's much more the case.
Yeah. So,
you know, that kind of point of view.
So at that point it was, we're like, oh, well, when we go next year, when we hit up Amsterdam, we'll see what that's about, you know? So, but then it was after that trip that I came home one day from work and Jen was like, oh, I found this. And she kind of spun the laptop around and it was Adult Friend Finder. Or Swap Finder, that you can use the same. If you log into one, it's the other. So people call it different things. But it's basically just a website, and kind of like Facebook, I guess. You can make a couple's profile, and
that's cool.
Yeah, so it's very geared. It's solely just for swingers.
I always thought Adult Friend Finder was like
looking for a buddy, just a drinking buddy.
No, I'm like, I need a new homie. Get my homies out. No, I always thought it was like. Like spam. I log onto it, it's like, I'm like, this is all fake. This is not like, it's just a bunch of, like catfishes. Like that's what I always assumed.
That was the first one we tried. So you can set it up like you can fill it out like, male 27.
You can plug in your
height, your weight, your. So whenever you go to a profile, you can't have a singles profile, but you can have a couple's profile, and you can have like the male, the female, your ages, your weight, your height. You can have a little write up like what you're looking for. Like, you know, we're looking for people, you know, you can click non-smoker, heavy smoker, drug user, non-drug user. It's called your Cupid preferences, and you can fill in like what you're looking for. So you're looking for just a female, or just a male, or a couple, or transgendered, or you can limit it by race if you're conservative. No, kidding. Just kidding, people.
You've got province, Nova Scotia, closest city, Dartmouth, Halifax, and Glace Bay.
Glace Bay.
The fact that they would say Glace Bay instead of Sydney is interesting.
That's super interesting that they put that there.
Yeah. So that's how we started, and. Yeah, you can limit like a radius, so you can say like, you know, find everyone within a 240-kilometer radius or 500-kilometer radius and stuff like that. So we made
a
profile.
Were there a lot of people?
Yeah.
There wasn't a huge amount, but we were surprised at how many there were.
Okay.
We were kind of like, holy crap.
Did you know anyone?
No, we eventually landed up running into like one person, that one male that we had, kind of an acquaintance, not somebody real close, but... But yeah, so we were on there not very long, and a couple from New Brunswick messaged us, and they're like, "Hey guys, you know," and we didn't know what the hell we were doing. You know, we were like, "Okay, like, well, obviously no face pictures, and like everyone puts up, you know, like nudes of themselves or whatever." But it's very, you know, most people don't have face pictures on, and they're like, "Hey, we're so and so and so and so, and And they sent us a picture, like, hey, if you're, you know, if there's a mutual attraction, you know.
A headless photo. They sent
they actually sent us, they had a couple of pictures on their page, but they sent us a face picture. And they're like, you know. And that was so funny. We were kind of surprised because it made it real. We were seeing these profiles and they just, when they were like a nameless, faceless profile, you're like, yeah, okay, they don't feel like real people.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden this couple was like, hey, yeah, they were mid-30s and they were very fit and, you know, they were both professionals and she had a master's degree and we were kind of like, okay, like, cool. And
smart.
Yeah.
Hot.
Yeah. And we're like, okay. And they were like, yeah, we're so-and-so. If you guys are interested, just message us back, River. And we're like, hey, okay, you know. And they signed their names. So we're like, okay, so I guess they're from New Brunswick. It's safe that we can give them our first names. Like, that's okay. So we messaged them back and then we talked for a while and then we exchanged numbers and there was flirting. And to me, that's, again, one of the, when people think of swinging, they think of, okay, you're just saying like, okay, meet me in room 320 at the Marriott and then we'll have sex.
Right.
But the vast majority of it is the buildup and the flirting and the texting and that leads to a lot of, well, for us anyway, for our experience, a lot more sex between us,
right?
Because, you know, like,
you're getting all turned on, yeah, all the time.
Well, exactly. When you're trying to line up four adults' schedules, you're working around when you're working around two periods and four jobs and sometimes
periods, that's a good point.
Sometimes kids, yeah. And so it's like, okay, well, you're exchanging calendars. It's like, okay, well, 2.5 months from now,
I think
we have a free night. And so from then to then, there's a lot of, yeah, like I get home from work and Jen's like, oh, I was talking to so-and-so and she starts reading me the texts. And I'm like, oh my goodness, you guys, okay. Like, I'm surprised, you know, it caught me off guard. I'm like, okay, that turns me on. Okay, cool. Like, all right, this is fun. So, and then it turns, obviously, you know, you're not meeting these people for 2 months. So it turns into a lot of intimacy between us.
Right.
Mm. So that's one of the really cool benefits that was kind of an unexpected benefit for us.
Right.
And so then we eventually did meet them like halfway between where we were and there were. And we just went out to the bar and we're like, yeah, let's just get a couple drinks. And that's what we did. And we clicked immediately and there was some chemistry there. And that was our first, I guess, our first swap with a couple on this continent.
Right.
and from then on, we're like, okay, that was good. So that we're like, that's how we were starting to find people.
Okay.
For a while until we really started to notice that there was fewer and fewer people on the swap finder.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And there was, or it was either fewer people in our age bracket.
Right.
There seemed like there was a lot of like mid-40s to mid-50s.
Mm-hmm.
And we were kind of looking for people in our own age group, you know, mid-20s to mid 30s, 40 kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, and then a couple that we had met from there, we kind of just met them. We were actually in the same hotel, just coincidentally. And they were like, okay, well, she's like, we're just about to go to bed, but come up and we'll just meet. And that's all we did. And we just chatted with them. And they mentioned, they're like, you know, oh, we use, I mentioned about how glitchy the site can be, the Swap Finder. And she said, oh, I barely use that anymore. I use Swap Finder. And that was the first time I had ever heard of Swap Finder. So we're like, oh, she's like, yeah, I use that. It's way better. So that's when we made a profile on Swap Finder, and that was kind of a. Sorry, I'm saying Swap Finder. I meant FetLife.
Oh, okay. FetLife. I was going to clarify.
Why are you repeating the same thing? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha. FetLife.
Yeah. FetLife. Yeah. You guys have talked about FetLife a little bit.
A little bit. Yeah.
So it's not as geared solely to swingers. It's a really broad.
It is as broad of a spectrum
yep.
as can be.
It is wide.
Yeah.
But we did find that there's a lot more people our age.
Yeah.
And you can't set it up like a couple's profile, but a lot of people do. They just say at the very beginning of the write-up, like, this is a couple's profile. Like, mm-hmm. you could be talking to either one of us, just ask. Yeah. Or
you can, like, whatever. Link. You can, like, kind of.
Yes.
There's ways to, like, link your another yep. user into your profile.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, we didn't do that just because. Just with all the things in life to do, God. It was like taking care of another social media profile.
That is honestly, because I was like, I'm going to fuck with FetLife. Like, I'm going to get into it. And then it was like when I tried to get on LinkedIn, I was like, what am I doing? I'm managing like 16 social media fucking profiles already. I can't do it.
Yeah. And some people say like, you know, if the couple profiles, that's just a hint of, you know, distrust there. I'm like, no, that's not it. We just
purely
don't want,
lazy.
Yeah, we just don't want to regulate two friggin' profiles. That's just all there is to it.
Gosh, you know what that just reminded me of is MySpace. Would you guys have ever had MySpace? Okay,
no.
So MySpace, you could customize the whole background of your profile with different images, different color palettes. You could spend hours crafting your MySpace.
And people were like proud of their MySpace pages.
Yeah, I was one of those people.
Yeah, so that was how we got into it with when we're like, okay, we can't just, we want this to be a little bit more a part of our life than the every year or every second year vacation. So that's how we got into kind of the local community in Halifax, not so much, pretty much everybody in Nova Scotia. I think on FetLife you can put Sydney or Halifax.
Yeah.
You pick one. But I think if you search like the HRM, I think it comes up almost like 25,000.
There's a healthy amount of people on there from here. It's a quite a large community.
Yep. And like you said, not everybody's, some people are just like, no, I just like to be tied up.
Yeah.
You know, that's it. No sexual
piece.
Nope. I just like to get tied up. So I just share pictures here. So, and that's great. But, yeah, that's how we.
Cool.
That's how we get into that.
One thing that I am curious about is the I know that like you made a point of this in your email, but coming from a small town in rural Nova Scotia, were you guys brought up religious? Like, did you have a religious background? And like, does that play a role in the way that you've decided to explore your sexuality or ways that you might not have?
Yeah, we were religion, you know, rural Nova Scotia. It's very, you know, the entire village is
everyone
usually,
goes to church on Sunday.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. The church is the biggest building in the community, you know.
That's why they have the cell phone towers.
That's where the dance was, where all that making out was happening.
Yeah. Yeah. So that church. For me, that it later in life, it didn't have so much of an impact. When I was younger, it was kind of like, you know, it was try not to masturbate, that's against our religion kind of thing. But then I guess as we got older, it was kind of like, you know what, let's just focus on being really good to people.
Yeah.
You know, even my childhood priest is funny. One thing he always just said, I remember from mass being as a kid, him saying, you know, when you get to the pearly gates, you're only going to get asked one question. And that question is, you're going to ask, how did you treat my people? He goes, that's all. He goes, because that's how you have treated me, like coming from Jesus. So he's like, and that's kind of the way I kind of took it. I was like, you know what, let's just do that. That's a lot easier than, you know, everyone.
That's profound. That's quite a thing to take out of your childhood.
Because people take these days, people decide what they want to take out of the religion and what they don't. The way I see it, you know, people say, well, if you look at the old testaments and the old books and stuff like that, if you're taking all of that literally, you can't do anything that's not against the rules.
Yeah.
So my thing is, it's like, well, they gave us fresh rules. There's the Old Testament, and that's where everybody gets the, you know, oh, being gay is, that's against religion. It's like, yeah, well, so was going to the bathroom, for God's sakes. Like,
you hold it.
Yeah, like, you're not supposed to plant two different crops side by side. You know, right. That person's supposed to get stoned. So I was like, so can't we just agree?
Rightly so, too, if you ask me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
like, how dare they?
Wear garments made of two different threads, like that burn that person, you know?
Yeah.
So I was like, can't we just agree to just settle on, you know, let's not murder, you know, let's just be good to each other. Let's, you know, the golden rule kind of thing.
Do you still go to church or feel inclined to be?
Certainly not like every Sunday kind of thing, but yeah, we still do go. Both of us, we were both raised Catholic. But yeah, so we're kind of at peace with it. Like we're not hurting anybody. We're not, because some people, you will run into some people at FetLife be like, just let you guys know, like my husband doesn't know that, or my wife doesn't know. And we're very like, oh, no, okay, like that's fine for you, but we're not getting into that.
Yeah, we're not going to contribute.
Yeah, we're not, you know, no judgment, but we're not going to get in on that. You know, so we're like, no thanks. And some people are kind of get a little bit upset about it. And they're like, oh, well, you know, it's none of your damn business. Like, well, okay, but it's our business who we decide to spend our time with. And that's inviting drama into our relationship.
Yeah.
Because next, I don't need a nasty message from, oh, you got with my, you know, my wife. What the, you know, so we don't need that. So So
smart.
Yeah.
That's real smart. Those are some good boundaries you got there.
Yeah. A lot of people, it's pretty common to see people saying like, you know, we don't want drama, you know, because we had dinner with a couple that we met on a swap finder. We met, I think back when it was the Temple Bar. I think it's two doors down. Bar.
Sure, yeah.
We met there and they seemed like really, again, like our age, good looking. And sometimes they sound great when you're talking to them and then you meet in person. And it becomes very apparent. Sometimes you'll see it's noticeable when one person in the couple is more invested in than the other.
Mm.
You can tell that she didn't want to be there. Mm. They weren't on the same page and it was really apparent pretty quickly. Like, she seemed very nice, but she just, you could tell she was like, I'm not comfortable with this at all. Like, I'm kind of got drug here.
That's so uncomfortable.
Yes. So I was kind of like, oh, why did you make this sound like you guys were totally cool with this? Because it was very apparent that we weren't. So we kind of like...
Did you call it? Did you say that out loud to them, to her? Or
no, we were kind of discreet about it, but we weren't there, 5 minutes. And Jen kind of gave me the tap signal on the knee, kind of the thing of like, you know, I'm uncomfortable because she's clearly uncomfortable. And so we're like, so you do find those people. You do come across the people you think might be a good fit. You meet with them for a drink or two. And then you think, yeah, no, it's just not. It's just not. There's no click. And I'm not engaging sexually with, even if there's not supposed to be any romantic feelings and stuff like that. You still want there to be a little bit of click there. You want there to be some chemistry.
Sure, yeah, of course.
And so we're like, okay. And I think they were kind of like, okay, well, we have somewhere to be tonight. But yeah, like tomorrow night. And we were kind of like, yeah, no, it's not for us. And again, he was a bit pushy, and she was, you can tell she was kind of like, oh, okay, that's cool with me, like I wasn't into this in the beginning.
Yeah, right.
And but yeah, he was rude to our server too, and that was a turnoff for us.
Not a good
that's an immediate red flag.
Yeah We started like almost harassing her about dessert. And it was a cocktail bar, and do you guys have any dessert here? And she was like, no, but you could try like the middle spoon is just down there. And he was like, no, I'd like some dessert like here. And I'm thinking, I'm across the table, like, are you deaf?
They don't have
Yeah, she's not running the kitchen.
That guy.
No, and
I'm
really
mad at him. What a douche.
Yeah, and so we're like, yeah, okay. So we kind of wrap things up. We're polite about it. Like, oh, okay, yeah, we got to go too. Had our one drink, left. We literally stepped outside the door and Jem was like, he's never touching me.
No, no.
Yeah.
And I feel a little sad for him at the same time because I don't know what made him like that, but it can't be pleasurable to walk around being a guy that elicits that kind of response from people.
Better. I mean? It could have been a bad day too. It could have just been the day, you know?
Yeah, could have been a day.
You never know.
You're right.
Have you guys found a couple or a play partner that you see on a semi-regular basis, or is it kind of just like hopping?
We're kind of looking for that couple,
right?
Yeah, we would really like to find people that we really just enjoy spending time with them, whether it's
hanging out,
yeah, playing some mini golf, or you know, anything, going out to dinner, and then
mini golf's a big thing in the small rural town.
Oh, the only thing
in the swinging community.
It's in the church. It's in the basement.
Mini golf is huge in the swinging community.
I don't know why that came to.
I love mini golf. I'm excited.
Super
to say
fun.
It.
Yeah.
Oh fuck. So, but have you had partners that have been reoccurring?
We had one of our threesomes with the very first threesome we ever had. That was kind of, that happened twice with the same partner, and then we had another partner after that that happened probably four or five times. But it wasn't ideal. And then these people, you know, this is shortly after university, and then they pair up and get boyfriends that turn into husbands and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then that's not really
that
talked
part
about.
Of them is
that,
over.
That's right. It's kind of like, okay, well, that was me in 2012. You know, not me in 2015. My God, like I'm
people
past
don't
that.
Change.
I'm mature now. It's like, okay, I'm gonna.
I guess I'm just wondering if, like, in your conversations navigating towards finding maybe like more of a long-term couple situation, are you talking much, or have you explored the subject of like catching feelings for people once you start engaging with them more than a couple
it hasn't
times?
Come up too much. We haven't found a couple yet that we're like, okay, that very first couple we liked them.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, their marriage ended.
Oh no!
Yeah, like probably probably a year after we saw them. So we were kind of that was our very first couple here, and then after that we've kind of been like trying to find like a replacement for them almost. It's kind of like, yeah, they were nice, like that was fun, but yeah, no,
maybe they'll get back together just for you guys.
maybe
no, you should invite them up to your town and get a couple extra bedrooms in your house.
We are kind of we would like to find a couple that we just, you know, can have a kind of an ongoing thing, because I mean the sex is usually better once you kind of
get to know the buttons.
Yeah, because I mean, the first time, if every time's your first time, it's like, okay, well, you do have to start learning what people like, what they don't like, what really does it for them, kind of thing. So,
Do you think, could you ever see yourself going as far as, living with another couple?
I don't think so. I say that partly because... Partly because of where we live.
That's a hard no from Jen.
Jen's just like shaking her head like absolutely.
Give the right answer here.
I mean that I feel like that would be crossing into very different territory. You know, like that.
Yeah.
I'm sure you could be still like label yourself and identify as a swinger with like a live-in, like swinging couple. Friend couple that like
roommates.
That are just roommates and like things don't get like
the reason
romantic and it's not and it still stays kind of like
the reason I asked that is because last night I was home alone, which almost never happens because I live with Jeremy and Becca and Ian and Aaron live in my house as well, and I've got Rob downstairs and you know Todd's over sometimes, so it's like there's a lot of people in my house,
yeah.
And I was cleaning the other day and I was like, you know what's really interesting is like this house and all the people that it holds has become kind of like my adult family. Like they're the people that I'm around the most.
Yeah.
I don't have kids, but like we managed to like feed the animals and like all the roommates pitch in on that. And we managed to like clean the house. And I'm like, this is it's like thinking about my life and like how I've arrived where I'm at and being like, isn't this interesting? I grew up in a house full of people. Like I had four little sisters and like friends over all the time. And it's like, I've kind of recreated this same sort of environment where there's always someone around and like just like varying different levels of relationship with everybody who's in the house. And it's just kind of charming, but I don't know about another couple.
Well, part of the reason that it would be we've never discussed it or really thought that would ever happen is because of where we live. It would really be socially unacceptable, unfortunately.
Yeah, the entire town.
You would be on the front cover of the paper, I think. I don't know.
does any part of your life like suffer because you aren't open about the way you conduct your relationship?
I don't think so, because we're privileged in the way that we do from the outside just look like your average heterosexual cis couple. You know, nobody would look at us and be like, yeah, are they doing other things on the side kind of thing? Like you probably wouldn't gauge it from looking at us. So we don't really show that side of ourselves where we live. You know, when we come to the city, you know, we get an Airbnb, we can go out and we do really enjoy that. We do have a couple that we've met a couple times and they're kind of becoming like friends, like, you know, I think the only ones that we, you know, they follow us on Instagram, we follow them on Instagram, you know, we kind of keep up on each other's lives and stuff like that, but still for them, like they have some kids and they live here and we live away, so you know, we only get up to the city every, I don't know, at the most once a month,
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. So
it sounds like that sort of forced distance is like has really given you the opportunity to take your time with this process and discover it. And
we couldn't run with it if we wanted to.
Right.
So it really has never forced the conversation. I think we did briefly talk. We're like, you know, we could possibly someday, like maybe we like a triad situation.
Mm-hmm.
Like we could possibly, if the right woman came along, like maybe that's probably the extent of where we would take it. But still. Because I could see Jen having a girlfriend, someone who we're both romantically involved with.
Yeah.
But I can never see us again, kind of because of where we live, and I don't know how that would work with kids and stuff like that.
Do you guys want kids?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not sure how that would work either. We could probably make it work, but again, I think we'd be ostracized within the community, unfortunately. If, I mean, there could be dozens of swingers in our community. We would never know. Yeah, it could. But unfortunately, that's the way it is in the small town, Nova Scotia.
Doesn't sound like it bothers you too much that you can't have that there.
We're really busy in our lives at home. Yeah. So it's like, well, I guess it's okay to be just, you know, working on our own, keeping our own relationship strong and healthy, and our careers. And so it's kind of a nice release. It's like, okay, you know, at the end of the month, we're going to go up to Halifax. We're going to, you know, we'll go out to dinner. If we like a couple, you know, we might have some fun, try some new things, whatever. Go out to the
Bastet.
Yeah, we've actually never been to Bastet yet, but we did. We've been to a nightjay party, and that was a lot of fun.
Oh,
and,
cool!
And the ORG parties. I was shocked when, because we kind of thought in order to see like that sex club scene, we're gonna have to go to Europe. Mm. We kind of thought that was always going to be the way it was. We were kind of shocked through FetLife when we started finding that that's actually happening in Halifax a little bit. So that was cool. It was unexpected, but we're kind of slowly getting into the community a little bit. But it is slow when you don't live here, when you're not in it all the time. It's kind of like somebody will message you and say, "Hey, you guys want to meet up for a drink tonight?" It's like, "Oh no, we're 5 hours away."
Right.
Like,
right.
Yeah, maybe next time.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So.
But, well, this has been really a really like refreshing kind of point of view and conversation, because there's something so, I mean within the hour that we've been speaking, there is something very, I feel like, not unique, but like rare. I feel like rare that we've come across of like the sort of attitude at which you come at your scenario, your situation with, like, exploring swinging and like opening things up within your marriage. Like, it's, yeah, there's just like, it's just a very
it's clear that you have like a very communicative and like supportive relationship. That
communication is, you can't in my opinion, you can't do what we do without talking about everything. You know, like, some people, we've talked to couples and them saying like, how did you guys, you know, you discuss like, how did you guys get into it kind of thing? And like, oh, we just decided we want to try one day. So we got on Plenty of Fish and we just found, and they just, you know, dive right in.
Yeah.
And some people just go right in the deep end. And that just wasn't the way we did it for whatever reason. We did just kind of inch kind of a little closer. We kind of pushed a little more and a little more. And I guess, yeah, it was just... But I do think that it's the way we do it isn't out of the norm from the people we've spoken to and the people we've met. It's pretty standard, I think, in the community that people say, like, you know, everyone's kind of on the same page. Not everyone. A lot of people are on the same page that they enjoy having like a little bit larger circle in their sexual life. They're like, you know, one person said, they're like, well, like, it's ridiculous the way that people... It's like food. It's like, you know, society doesn't say, oh, well, you like pizza, so you need to eat this pizza for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You know, it can be like, well, pizza can be your favorite, you know, but you can also have the odd hamburger.
Yeah, sure.
You know, like.
Yeah.
So that's the way we're, you know, and that's, it is crazy, though, in my opinion, the way we see it, the way society's like, well, you pick your one person, because for me, Jen was the first person I ever had sex with.
Yeah.
She was your pizza.
Yeah, she was my pizza. So I was like, okay, like this meat lover's pizza, I love it. And now I have to eat this forever.
Yeah.
So if I was going by like what society dictates, I would have like lived and died with one sexual partner.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I have FOMO too bad to, I was like, well, no, it'd be nice to just.
There's a lot of burgers out there.
Yeah, you know, try all the toppings.
Sausages.
Yeah. Condiments.
So people have laid it out like that, and I was like, that's an interesting way of looking at it.
It really is.
Like
meat. Yeah, and they're saying, one person was like, look, for me, you know, when people, because sometimes when people hear like swinging, the immediate thing they think of is like when you read if you ever read like the comments online, when articles like that are published, or like Polly or swinging,
Oh yeah,
it was a good article.
It was.
Yeah. So, but people, some of the comments you see is, well, do you really love that person if you can see them having sex with someone else?
Yeah.
And my thing is, well, if you put the sex on the pedestal when it's like you only ever have this with the person that's your person, but as our generation, we're very okay with when we don't have a full-time partner, we're okay with casual sex. Mm-hmm. So it's like, why can't we be okay with casual sex and still have it separated from the relationship?
I don't think that's going to change in people's minds unless the conversation about pleasure becomes way more mainstream. Like, our religion and, you know, other reasons too have like really inhibited our right to feel pleasure. It's like, mm-hmm. it's got to be hard work and then
there's supposed to be sacrifices.
Yeah. Like, and then the way you're allowed to like celebrate and feel pleasure is like so narrow according to, it's like, oh, we go out for drinks, we're going to party, we're going to let loose or whatever. Yeah. But like actual like sensual pleasure is so rarely discussed in terms of its importance in our like experience of being alive. And I think that people don't realize that sex is is often about pleasure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's so, and you can just, there's just more options. Yeah. You know, you add a person or two people or whatever, six, you add more, and there's more opportunity. There's just things you can try or do or see if you enjoy if there's more than two. You can only do so many things with two people. So it just opens up a lot more doors. Mm-hmm. Cool. And someone's like, you know, well, and back to like the comments and the well, do you really, is she really the one if you can stand seeing it? I was like, well, think of it as like going on vacation, you know? When you go on vacation, does somebody say like, oh, why are you going on vacation? Do you not love home? It's like, well, of course, home is my favorite place ever, but I still like going on vacation. And that's kind of the way I see it. Like, Jen is home. She's the one I love the very most, and that's never going to change. But it's also fun to go on vacation for a night or an hour or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, at the end of every vacation, you're always kind of like, you know what? It's time to go home. Time to get home. So,
yeah.
For us, that's just the way we see it. And hopefully hearing this, more people will be like, you know, that, yeah, we could try that. We could ease into that. There is ways that just you can ease into it. You can, like, people just think of swinging and they think, okay, that's just
chaotic.
You having like full on like penetrative sex with, mm-hmm. we're switching. Yeah. But people say, you know, once you get into it, you realize that people say, oh, what are you guys into? Are you into full swap or soft swap, which is just like, you know, oral. Basically, like, and we've seen that, like, people say, like, okay, like, no, like, you can, you know, it's okay if you eat her out, but don't penetrate her. Cool. Yeah, you just talk. It's very, the community itself is very communicative. It's very, just be very upfront and open about what you're okay with, what you're not okay with, what's your yellows, what's your greens, what's your reds, you know, what's a full stop. And generally, it's always, everyone say, you know, we haven't come across people that, where protection wasn't everyone's, basically, you know, full protection, and just as long as everybody's comfortable, kind of do your own thing. But
that's awesome.
Yeah,
this has been really sweet. I'm glad you guys were in town and that you reached out to pop by the studio.
Yeah, we were glad to be on the mics.
It was really, really fun.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for that.
It's been a joy.
And thank you all so much for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back next week, as always, with another great conversation. And in the meantime, go to Apple Podcasts and hit the subscribe button and leave a rating and a review. And then go to patreon.com/turnmeon and join our little community there, because that is it actually plays a big role in allowing us to have conversations like this and to travel outside our home, which is our favorite place. But sometimes, you know, we like to go other places and explore.
Like LA.
Yeah. And you know, it's not all about pizza. We want the burgers too. So, so we want to get around and meet you people and talk to you people. And
meet you hamburgers.
Yeah. We want to meet all the hamburgers, all the condiments. So go to patreon.com/turnmeon. If you want to support the podcast. And
thank you so much to our supporters on Patreon.
Yeah, definitely. TurnmeOnPodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, send us an email if you want to be a guest on the show, or if you have a question you'd like us to take a stab at answering.
And if you want to know what's the latest, what's happening, follow us on Instagram at TurnmeOnPodcast. That is it for this week. Until next week,
go fuck yourself.
ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.